Well, today is Sunday, the 8th of December. just in case you didn't know, there's 15, 22, 29, 3 more Sundays to go, and the year is over. 18 more days to go, and then it's Christmas. Who enjoys the Christmas time? Who gives back the presents they're given? Okay, yeah. I've been known to gift gifts that I've been given. Anyway, so I want to welcome everybody here today, this morning, and to all those that are watching us online, to all our guests, those that are here for the first time. And it's always great to gather in the house of the Lord. And you know, here at C3 Fremantle, that was just that song number 3. Man, that was really good. I think we're going to sing it one more time before we leave this place today. Very good song. And, you know, C3 Fremantle is a place to belong. You come here and you belong to the family of God, and it's a place to be planted. The one thing we know is that God is the only one who can orchestrate something like this, where the people of all nationalities, of all tribes, different walks of life can come together, different ages can come together and gather in one house united because under the banner of Jesus Christ. And so praise the Lord for that. Amen. So the year has gone, well, nearly gone, and you're still alive. Isn't that a good thing to say amen to? Because God has been faithful to you. One of the messages of encouragement that I always say and I believe in is that everybody has a ministry from the Lord. That no matter what your age is that whilst you're still here on earth, whilst you're still breathing, every morning that you wake up, you say, Lord, what is the assignment that you have for me? Because there will come a time when you no longer be here and the assignment is finished. So you want to make sure that you fulfill the assignment that the Lord has for you. So I've just got some, as I begin my message today, I'm just going to bring a bit of research from the Australian Retailers Association, who reveals that shoppers are forecast to spend $11.8 billion on presents in 2024, which is up $1.6 billion on last year's figures. So we've got a lot of money that we're spending on what? On presents. And it sort of like says that this is just presents. Then it says shoppers will be forking out on food. Possibly they're projected to spend $28 billion, an increase of 4.2% on last year. We eat a lot of food, eh? $28 billion just over 2 weeks. It's eaten on Christmas Day or Christmas Eve, and then it's gone. $28 billion gone just like that. And it goes, you know, wherever it goes, but it goes. You know. But I've also got some good news as well from the Australian Retailers Association. They have said since that your gift has been on the way since mid-October 2024. Because what they said is that in the research that they did is that 53% of shoppers have already purchased their gifts. So your gift is on the way. What I would hope for you is that 53% are people that you know. Otherwise, there's no gift for you. And then, of course, the Monash Business School's Australian Consumer and Retail Study says almost 1 in 3 Australians report having returned a Christmas gift to a retail store for a refund, exchange, or store credit at one point in time. So that's nearly 1 in 3 people say, no, 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 thank you very much, but no, thank you. I want to take the gift back. And this was from Christmas 2023. So be careful the gifts that you buy, because they might be going back to the store. The age groups that are most likely to return gifts than others is ages 25 to 34, 43% most likely to return the gifts back to the store, 35 to 44-year-olds, 28%. And then 55 to 64-year-olds, 26%. And then Australians, so essentially, there are some people at least that are least likely, people over age of 65 are least likely to have ever returned a gift to a retail store. So those are the best people to what? To buy gifts for, because they will accept them even though they don't like them. And so the types of gifts that are returned, and this is a warning to all those that haven't done your Christmas shopping, clothing, footwear, and accessories was the most commonly cited gifts that were returned. This was followed by books and stationery and consumer electronics. With books, of course, you might find a novel and you think, I really enjoy this author. Let me buy it for somebody. And that person obviously does not like the book. So they do what? They send it back, or it just sits on the shelf forever, or it goes in the bin. So my advice is that be very careful when you buy gifts. The easiest gift you can buy is a voucher. Because guess what? They'll use the voucher for what they want rather than what you think that they want to receive. Now, we also know that for some families, Christmas or life in general is not kind. 11 point something billion on presents, 28 billion on food. Sounds like a what? Like a lot of money. Well, it is actually a lot of money. But according to the Food Bank's Hunger Report of 2024, 32% of Australian households, and that's an estimated 3.4 million households, experience food insecurity, either moderate or severe. The good thing, though, was that this was a decrease from the 36% in 2023. Still, that's a lot of what? That's a lot of people. So food security is broadly defined as access by all at all times to enough food for an active, healthy life. Food insecurity exists whenever the availability of nutritionally adequate and safe foods or the ability to acquire acceptable food in socially acceptable ways is limited or uncertain. The worry about food affordability remains a constant among food insecure households, with 97% concerned about running out of food before having enough money to buy more food, another 93% unable to afford balanced meals. There are also households that face challenges such as running out of food. There's 97% skipping meals or cutting meal sizes. And of course, there'll be some adults not eating for a whole day due to what? Affordability of food. And so beyond the Christmas lights, and please, by no means am I, you know, trying to dampen the mood here. These are just the cold, hard facts. Beyond the Christmas lights and wonderful time, there are women and children who have little cause for celebration, but they have to be vigilant and fearful due to family and domestic violence. This is the stuff, the dark stuff that happens in our society, in our communities, in our suburbs. Dr. Kate Fitzgibbon from Monash University says that they hear that frontline responders say that there's an increase in domestic and family violence reporting over the holiday period. Of course, crisis support data shows a huge spike over the Christmas Day and Boxing Day alone. So people reaching out for support and for help during that what is on the outside a very glamorous occasion. Now, we all know that, of course, Christmas itself is not the cause of domestic and family violence. But, of course, given the likelihood of increased expenses, alcohol consumption, pressure to attend social gatherings, it then can be a time of heightened stress and conflict for many families, thus exacerbating the threat of violence. Now, with all that happening in our communities, in our suburbs, and perhaps even in our households, the focus of Christmas 2024 perhaps has to shift a bit. One of the key things I would encourage all of us to do this Christmas is to prioritize relationships over material things. We need to focus on what truly matters. Prioritize what holds true value, and that is the relationships. People are irreplaceable, unlike material possessions, which we can, you know, you can always get those. You can't get people. Perhaps we need to embrace simplicity, introduce frugality in our lives, because we get so stressed by the need to purchase stuff for everybody so that everybody gets something that they can smile about. And perhaps it's that this is the time where we bring that frugality into our holiday season. And you know what we'll discover? That living simply doesn't mean the world will fall apart, because we are focusing on the right things. It doesn't mean we have to, you know, we swipe the card to death. Or nowadays you can go online and you purchase gifts and gifts and gifts that you heard what the Monash told us, that people, 30% of people give back those gifts because they don't like them. So here you've spent all this stress in buying stuff, and 33% of the people that you're buying for don't actually like the stuff you're buying because they take it back. Perhaps we need to reassess habits, because it is a heightened time, you know, of, in some families, even if it's with, not within our own family, but within other families that live next door in the neighborhood, or things that we hear about. Perhaps this is the time where we reassess our habits. This might be a good time in Christmas 2024 to reduce excessive alcohol consumption. Now, the good thing that we didn't say eliminate. We're kind enough to say reduce. Eh? Not eliminate, because everybody will be in an uproar. Eliminate, no. But go easy on the drink, because it's not going to help you. Because this is what causes a lot of tension in families. And there's this saying that nobody has ever said, my life got better the day I started drinking. Nobody. My life has got better the day I started drinking. No. Everybody laments the day they began to drink and it got out of control. And for others, this is a time where there's just excess grief, that the Christmas period conjures up sadness, and people are just not happy because they perhaps are reflecting on times of old when things didn't go so well for them. And so what we need to do is that this is the time to seek support. For those of us who struggle with sadness, consider reaching out for help to make this season one of healing and hope, so that it's not like a somber moment for you. Because there are others, you see, when everybody else is getting excited, they are glum. They're just not happy during the Christmas period. So my suggestion is that the focus for you perhaps this year is to consider reaching out for help, so that this one is one of healing and one of hope. In the book of Luke, chapter 1 and 2, it describes a period where they introduced the birth of Jesus and how that whole process occurred. And in Luke chapter 2, verse 9 to 14, it says, suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared in radiant splendor. You know what the kids told us about the birth of Jesus? This is just immediately after it happened. It said, suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared in radiant splendor before them, lighting up the field with the blazing glory of God. And the shepherds were terrified. But the angel reassured them, saying, don't be afraid, for I have come to bring you good news, the most joyous news the world has ever heard. And it is for everyone, everywhere. For today in Bethlehem, a rescuer was born for you. He is the Lord Yahweh, the Messiah. You'll recognize him by this miraculous sign. You'll find a baby wrapped in strips of cloth and lying in the feeding trough. Then all at once in the night sky, a vast number of glorious angels appeared, the very armies of heaven. And they all praised God, singing, "Glory to God in the highest realms of heaven, for there is peace and a good hope given to the sons of men." Now, what happened is that just before, during this time, that before the Lord was born, there were issues that were prevailing in the society at that time. The society was faced with economic issues. There was high taxation because the Roman Empire imposed heavy taxes on its subjects, including the people of Judea, causing widespread economic hardship. This is why when you begin to read the gospel, they never liked the tax collectors, because the tax collectors were appointed people from the Jewish people that were appointed by the Romans to collect tax, because they were seen as corrupt and they were enriching themselves at the expense of the populace. There was poverty and inequality. A significant portion of the population lived in poverty, particularly those who were living in the rural areas. There were political issues, Roman occupation. Judea was under Roman rule, with Herod the Great serving as a client king. Political instability. So the region was characterized by uprisings and dissatisfaction with Roman governance. There were societal issues prevalent, class divisions. Society was highly stratified. So you had the rich, then you had the high income, middle income, and then everybody else. And so there was a clear division between the elites. The role of women, these are some of the societal issues that was happening. Women generally held a subordinate position in society. So when we begin to understand and hear, and as we will read later on, that Mary experienced as a young unwed mother-to-be who became pregnant, reflected the stress of the society at that stage where they were not very accepting of women that got children out of wedlock. There were ethnic tensions. The Jews lived under Roman authority and faced tensions not only with the occupiers, but also amongst the groups like the Samaritans. There were religious issues that were prevalent during that day. The messianic expectation. Many Jews were longing for the arrival of a Messiah who would liberate them from Roman oppression. They were like, "Oh, we can't wait. These guys, we're just sick of them." Corruption in religious leadership was prevalent. The priesthood, they were seen as compromised and aligned with Roman authorities, leading to a loss of trust among the people. And of course, there was the strict adherence to the law. There was a strict emphasis on observance, creating a rigid religious environment that often excluded or marginalized the common people. So things were just, it was a very tense time. And so this is why you find that when the angels came to give the good news that, hey, something good has happened, people were expecting that we're sick of Roman oppression. These guys have been occupying us and telling us what to do. We cannot wait for somebody to come and liberate us. Now, I don't know about you, whether you've ever been oppressed by something. And you know, when you've been oppressed, you really are hopeful for the day that you get your freedom. You are hopeful for the day that freedom will come into your life, where you're addicted to sin. There's certain sins that they really, you know, they've hooked you bad. And you can't wait for the day that you will be free. I'm longing for the day that I'll be free. And so this verse, "Glory to God in the highest realms of heaven, for there is peace and a good hope given to the sons of men," serves as a powerful reminder of the true meaning of Christmas. And so as we enter this season, we have to remember that the heart of Christmas is Jesus Christ, because Jesus is our hope and light for the world. There is only things, there's only solutions, just like when, what they were facing back in the day in the book of Luke. There is only things that Jesus himself can help us in our lives. You will have troubles in your life, but it is only the Lord Jesus Christ that is your hope. And so as we look into this Christmas message, we recognize that his birth is the fulfillment of God's promise to save the world, shining his light into the darkness of our brokenness. And he offers us a peace. But this peace does not mean we don't have conflict in our lives. We'll always have conflict. But it's a reconciliation with God. This is why you find that when man fell in the book of Genesis, they said that, you know, the son of the woman, the seed of the woman will what? Will there'll be deliverance, will crush the head of the enemy. And then in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6, it says, it says that hope in the Messiah. It says that nevertheless, the time of darkness and despair will not go on forever. The land of Zebulun and Naphtali will be humbled, and there will be a time in the future when Galilee of the Gentiles, which lies along the road that runs between the Jordan and the sea, will be filled with glory. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light. For those who live in a land of deep darkness, a light will shine. And then it goes on to say in verse number 6, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end. He will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of heaven's armies will make this happen. I want us to reflect just on that last verse, the last portion of verse number 7. The passionate commitment, the passionate zeal of the Lord. This is a promise that was given to us by God that, hey, I'm going to make this happen, that hope is going to come back into your world. And that hope is what? Jesus Christ. Amen? So Jesus is the ultimate miracle sign of God's love and redemption for humanity. Jesus is our hope. He's the fulfillment of centuries of prophetic longing. He's our light because he reveals God's truth, exposing the sin and brokenness in our hearts whilst offering a way to redemption. And I wonder for you, I don't know what you've been praying for, what you've been crying out to the Lord for and saying, Lord, this is what I'm hoping for. And I hope that this Christmas season, you would look at it differently because you recognize that God has made a way for you. And it's a time for you to be hopeful because you know that Jesus has come into your life. And as a result of that, you can be hopeful that whatever it is that you're going through, God is with you and he will walk that journey with you. Amen. So what is the expected response to a divine encounter that you will experience in your life? In Luke chapter 1, it's spoken of a guy named Zechariah. And so he went in and they had to offer some sacrifices to the Lord. And he was standing at the altar of incense. And all it says in Luke 1 verse 11 says, And at once, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing just to the right of the altar of incense. So Zechariah was startled and overwhelmed with fear. But the angel reassured him, saying, don't be afraid. God is showing grace to you. For I have come to tell you that your prayer for a child has been answered. Your wife, Elizabeth, will bear you a son, and you are to name him John. He goes on to explain a bit more things about what this son is going to be able to do, what the role that he's going to play in the plans of God. And then he says, and he will prepare a united people who are ready for the Lord's appearing. So this is a man that had been praying for a child. And all of a sudden, the answer, the response that he was hoping for came. And this is what he said to the angel. After the angel told him all these things, he said, Zechariah asked the angel, how do you expect me to believe this? I'm an old man and my wife is too old to give me a child. What sign can you give me to prove this will happen? Of course, then the angel gets really annoyed and he begins to tell us his credentials. And then he says that, look, since you did not believe my words, you'll be stricken silent and unable to speak until the day my words have been fulfilled at the appointed time. I wonder for you, would you recognize when your answer to prayer has come? And would you believe if the Lord sent somebody, you wake up in the middle of the night and the angel says, this is what you've been crying for day and night. I've come to give you the answer. And you still say, how am I going to be sure that that is the answer? Give me a sign. If you contrast that with another occasion where that same angel went to another unmarried girl named Mary. This is in verse number 26 of the same chapter. The angel Gabriel was sent from God's presence to an unmarried girl named Mary living in Nazareth. And then she was engaged to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, rejoice, beloved young woman, for the Lord is with you, and you are anointed with great favor. She was deeply troubled over the words of the angel and bewildered over what this may mean for her. But the angel begins to tell her that, don't worry, God is going to do some things. He's going to come over you, and you're going to have a child. And they explain that, He will be known as the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God will enthrone him as king on the throne of his ancestor David. He will reign as king of Israel forever, and his reign will have no limit. Now Mary this time says, but how could this happen? I'm still a virgin. I've not known a man. And so Gabriel answered, and he says, the Spirit of holiness will fall upon you, and Almighty God will spread his shadow over power over you in a cloud of glory. This is why the child born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. And then he goes on to explain, your aunt that is very old has also become pregnant with a son. The barren one is now in her 6 months. Not one promise from God is empty of power. Nothing is impossible with God. I think that when we read some of these things, you got to understand is that there is some technology that we are being given here, that if the Lord speaks, not one promise from God is empty of power. Nothing is impossible with God. You got to believe that for your own life. You have to appropriate that and say, okay, I know that this was said to Mary, but this also applies in my life for the things that I'm asking the Lord for. And my encouragement to you today is that as you take on the word of God, as it speaks to you, you need to follow what Mary said. Then Mary responded saying, yes, I will be a mother for the Lord. As his servant, I accept whatever he has for me. May everything you have told me come to pass. And the angel left her. So what is your response to a divine encounter? Are you going to respond in fear or unbelief like Zechariah did? Or are you going to respond like Mary just said, look, whatever it is that you want to do, I am going to accept it. I am going to believe your word. This is what we have to believe for our lives and for our families, that even as we are in this Christmas period, it's an important time for us to reflect on the goodness of God and the faithfulness of God to us, that we are still able to celebrate Christmas. Because it is worse for other people. And so there's reason for us to be super grateful to God for what he has done, but to believe the things that he has said over our lives. So I'm going to ask this year that in the hustle and bustle of Christmas, decorations, gifts, meals, gatherings, it is easy to lose sight of what this is all about. If you go to the shops now, you are not going to find a parking space. It's packed because people are hurrying, and all that stuff is good stuff. The getting of presents, that is all good. But let's not lose focus on what this season is really about. So often the world shifts the focus of Christmas from Jesus to consumerism. The gifts become about impressing others rather than reflecting the generosity of God. The meals become more about indulgence rather than gratitude. So instead of just, we have 2-3 turkeys, that after a week, you know, how long do you keep a turkey in the fridge? Afterwards, like, okay, bin. Or you serve it to your pets, for those pets. The celebrations become distractions instead of us worshiping with your family and being grateful to the Lord for what he has done. So no matter how enjoyable these things may be in our lives, they cannot satisfy your soul. They cannot satisfy our souls. Only Jesus can do that. And so I'd invite us to stand this morning. As we prepare for Christmas, let us remind ourselves and others that Jesus is the greatest gift, because he is God's ultimate expression of love and redemption. We should share our hope and our peace by reflecting Christ's love to those around you. So when you've made it about yourself, you've made it about the gifts, this is probably the year where you say, you know what, who can I put my eyes on? Is there anybody that I can put my eyes on who's not in a situation like mine? And perhaps we need to slow down and make space for worship, prayer, and gratitude in our lives, because we're taking the time to reflect on the miracle of Jesus' birth and what it means for your life. So be like the shepherds who spent time glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told unto them. My challenge to all of us this morning is that be a catalyst for proclaiming the good news of Jesus, that he is the hope and light of the world. And let it be your goal to share the message of Jesus Christ and lead someone to salvation. Whilst you're around your family, whilst you're around the drinks and the merriment, by all means, enjoy the season. But also recognize that you are on assignment. You are always on assignment. And that in all of that drinking and carrying on and eating, always be ready to share the hope that you have with other people. And let it be a different Christmas for somebody else whose life was not filled with hope, whose life was characterized by darkness and brokenness, that this is the Christmas that their light will be characterized by hope and by light, because Christ will shine his light into their lives and expose the brokenness, not to destroy them, but to bring them closer to him. Amen. In John 8 verse 12, it says, then Jesus said, I am light to the world, and those who embrace me experience life-giving light, and they will never walk in darkness. And so this morning I would ask for those of you that have never made that decision to experience the hope and the light of God through Jesus Christ. I'm just going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to have a prayer of invitation, inviting you into a new hope where Christ would shine his light into your life, and you're not going to be shameful, because he's not doing it to expose, he's doing it so that he can illuminate your brokenness and lead you to the source of fulfillment in your life. And so I invite you to repeat this prayer after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending your son Jesus, who is my hope and my light. Today I choose to put my trust in Jesus. I repent of my sins And I choose to follow you today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.